Okay, so Mishlei is a book which I don't have that much experience with. I'm kind of hoping from Seattle. I think whoever's from Seattle, you probably have some experience with it from Evan Moskowitz. I hope. You know, and you have from Matt. Okay, so we'll see what happens. I mean, I've tried it a few times. I have never really been especially successful in really trying to figuring out how to learn Mishlei, but you know, I'm trying again. So we'll see what happens. But hopefully together we'll come out with some good ideas. So from what I understand from people who learn Mishlei, that all the, from some paragon, I'm not sure, maybe Yud Aleph on, every pasuk is roughly its own idea. That's the wisdom. Okay? So that's what they say, you know, from those who've done it a lot. So I'm going to kind of go with that assumption. And so we're just going to kind of try to analyze. So I have prepared a 4 psukim, but, you know, I don't really care if today we just do 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever. You know, it doesn't really matter. Okay? So I'm starting off in the beginning of... Can I find that?
I'm having a hard time finding it.
I mean, I'm feeling like it's fine. We're starting in the beginning of the 12th parak. Okay, the beginning of the 12th parak. Yeah.
Can I
think? Sure. Okay. So it says, the puzzle says like this. Ohev Musar, Musar, Ohev Musar, Ohev Das, Visone Tochachas Bar. So it means a person who loves Musar, which it's not clear exactly what Musar means, but some sort of, I don't know, we'll see. I guess that's open for discussion. Ohev Musar, a person who loves Musar, but I think we all have some loose idea of what it is, like some sort of... They translate it in English, discipline, but I don't know. We'll have to see. Ohev Musar, ohev das. A person who loves Musar loves das, loves knowledge. Visone tochachas bar. And a person who hates tochachas, tochacha, which is like rebuke, seems to be like equating Musar and tochacha. So rebuke, Musar is like, we can think of it in a term like rebuke, some sort of personal rebuke, about one's character or something like that. So a person who hates rebuke is a bar, a fool. Okay, is a fool or prudish. The word comes from, in the Torah, it's used to mean like an animal. It's a reference to Biro, is like his animal. So it means he's like an animal, like a brute, like a fool. It's one of the multiple words which is used for a fool. Okay, so again, a person who loves Musar loves knowledge. And a person who hates Musar, who hates a rebuke, Tochacha is a fool. So what's this talking about? So I guess we could see Rashi says... Is there Rashi here? No. Okay, the Mitzudas, right? Mitzudas. So Mitzudas explains a little bit, and I think most of the Farshim explain a similar type of an idea. So he says, Ohev es ha-Musar, someone who loves Musar, who ohev das. He loves knowledge. Ki bishamo es ha-Musar, because when he hears a Musar, yikne das. Then he'll acquire knowledge. Mashalo shama me'al is that which he didn't previously acquire. Aval hasone tochachas, someone who hates rebuke, hu ba'ar vishota. He's a fool, he's a, like a brute and a fool, whatever, shota, ki yishar be'ev lasa. Because he will remain in his foolishness. Okay? So, and then there's a similar pshat. So he says, a person who loves knowledge will love Musar. Because it will cause him, his spirit to be, you know, reproved or something to that effect. So the question is, I guess in each pasuk, at least this is my goal in each pasuk here, is to get just an idea of what's the main idea of the pasuk. I mean, there are a lot of particulars, and we could use the particular words, the choice of words and all that. I don't have that much experience with this, but my main goal is at the very least to, like, what's Shlomo HaMelech trying to teach us in the pasuk? What idea could we walk away with? What notion is he correcting that we may not otherwise know? Something like that. What's the insight? My impression is that each pasuk is another piece of insight which we could take with us during our lives. So that's my goal. So in doing so, do we have any questions? Are there any questions that we have? In general, I guess that's a good approach. Let's start off with, seeing if we have any questions on the pasuk and then seeing if we can try to help figure out what he's trying to say. So anyone have a question?
Maybe how are the two parts of the pasuk related?
Okay.
Like, what does Moshe have to do with Tochacha? Yeah.
Okay. It sounds, I'm just on a shot, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, but it sounds to me that he's using them somewhat as synonyms.
Right.
He's saying someone who loves Moser loves knowledge, and someone who hates Moser, or he's using a different word, but I think they're like close enough that maybe there's a subtlety in why he's using Moser on one side and Tochach on the other side, but it seems to me on a basic level that it's talking about the same thing. You know? But that doesn't, it's still your question as to what's the connection, right? He's saying, at least it sounds like you're kind of comparing someone who loves it versus someone who hates it. Someone who loves it is a lover of knowledge, and someone who hates it is a fool.
Well, does someone become a lover of knowledge because they love Moser, or do they love Moser because they're a lover of knowledge?
That's a good question. Which causes
it? It sounds like it's saying it both ways.
Yes, I mean, it's funny because I noticed that. It's the part of which way does it go? Is that loving Moser cause you to love knowledge, or the opposite? So Mitzudas David says, "Oivis a Moser, oiv das." Person who loves Moser loves knowledge, because when he hears the Moser, he'll get knowledge. But when Ezra says, "Yish oivis a das, oivis a Moser," person who loves knowledge loves Moser. So it kind of sounds like, yeah, it sounds like, is that why you said from the portion? It sounds like it kind of goes both ways. Which is interesting, right? Which is interesting. Are they? That's a good question. Is one, does one cause it or the other? Are they somehow two sides of the same thing? Not clear. Okay, good question. Good question. Hopefully, that's something we could, get some sort of idea about. Okay, any other questions?
Well, I mean, it seems pretty obvious. I mean, at least if you go in the direction of. Well, I think if you go in either direction, it just seems kind of obvious.
Obvious point.
Yeah.
Okay. You mean is
like
it,
someone who listens to someone telling them something they didn't know before.
Okay.
Well, know more things.
Right. You mean, listen to people giving you Moser, obviously you can get more knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, what new point is he telling you then? Like, a person who likes to learn gains knowledge. Of course. Right? It's true. Like, what's the insight here? Okay. Good. Any other questions? Anyone?
So are people, like, do people love Moser, or are they just, you know, either are neutral about it, or, you know, reject it? You know, it's a funny thing to love Moser.
Right. I mean, why do you love
Some
Moser?
Some people love it.
Yeah.
Some people love it. It's true. There are people in the world who love Moser. It's a very popular type of
I guess I can't understand this.
It's not something we do so much around here, but it is true. I mean, Moser Shmuzes are like a big, very popular activity, and but it's true. I mean, what is the idea of loving it? Yeah, it's true. I mean, presumably there's also someone who has a middle attitude who kind of is just neutral about it. But Mishle is telling you the extremes. The person who loves it loves knowledge. The person who hates it is a fool. The person who is medium. The person who is three quarters of the way this way. Whatever, right? I mean, it would seem that way. But the way to portray an idea, to convey an idea, is to give you the extremes, and just, you know. But it's true. I mean, what exactly, just because it's true people love Moser, it doesn't exactly explain why a person would love Moser. I mean, at first sight, you'd think you wouldn't love Moser. It seems to be normal to hate Moser, because Moser is something which is somewhat an imposition, an attack, questioning you, making you feel like you're doing something wrong, something like that, right? So it seems to be someone naturally, it would seem that a person's natural inclination would be to not be very happy about it, right? Someone rebuke, I mean, who likes to be rebuked, right, on an emotional level. It's not something that's just pleasant, it's painful, it's, you know, calls us into question, right?
But he's calling that type of person a fool.
That's true, but, you know, if we're fools, we have to accept it, you know? That's just our nature, and that's our nature. So, maybe, I'm just saying, is what a natural inclination of a person. Maybe the natural inclination of a person is to be a fool. That might be the case.
Maybe people have different natural, whatever.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know anybody who just, like, by the natural inclination likes it if people come and start criticizing them, saying, you don't know what you're doing, you made a mistake. I mean, maybe some people do, but I would think that... No, I know you think a lot of people do.
I don't know what people do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would think in general, a person starts out, a person isn't born a chacham, what love or knowledge is, a kind of thing in general. And most media, the person is born like not perfected, and the person is wonderful, and you have to kind of develop these types of things. Everything, so who knows? Okay. Just 1 second. Any other questions? Anyone on the phone have any questions? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Ohi Musar, Ohi Da. So, in Musar, if you're calling Musar the same thing as Tochacha, so when someone tells you you're doing something wrong, they're probably going to offer a better solution to what you're doing. And therefore, you're learning through that experience, you know? You're learning through the Musar and through Tochacha. So someone who loves it is going to gain more Das because they're going to learn more that way. Someone who hates it is a fool because they're just a fool. they're not going to be learning that.
Right.
And to have that attitude throughout life is not going to get you very far. To hate Tochacha because Tochacha helps you grow.
Right. That's a good. I hear what you're saying. That's good. But what would you say about Tamar's question? I guess is like, is it almost like a tautology? Like you're saying, it's something which is like by definition true. Of course, if you love Musar, and Musar is like a type of knowledge, then of course you love knowledge. Like, what's like the chiddush? Is there a chiddush in it, or is it just saying, if you love when people tell you true things, then you're gonna love knowledge? You know, like, is Musar the same thing as Das? Or is Musar something other, and there's some sort of a new idea which is telling us that there's an equation or something like that? You know what I mean? Like, what kind of knowledge are we talking about? I guess that's a good question. When he says Ohev Das, like, what does it mean? Does it mean a person loves Musar, then they love knowledge about their Midos? I guess what's Musar about? Presumably about your Midos, about your character? You'd think so, right? But I don't know if someone gives you Musar that, you know, you have a bad idea. I mean, that's not Musar. That's just, you know, you have an argument with somebody and someone says an idea and then you argue with it and you say it's wrong, and that's not Musar. That's just correcting a false idea. But Musar seems to be somewhat about your character, right? So if the Das he's referring to means that someone who loves Musar loves knowledge about the character, well, then that's what Musar is. Musar, in theory, is giving you knowledge about the character, so then of course you love knowledge because they're one and the same. Right? So it must be saying something more than that. 1 second. It's like the Ralbag talks about it. He kind of just, I didn't think to read it, but he makes a point that's like, when you love knowledge, Mishu Ohev Musar Midos, if a person loves Musar and Midos, who Ohev Das, and he loves knowledge. That like straightens you out to the perfection of the Maskalos, is like Seichel, like intelligent ideas. Right? He makes the connection to Maskalos, which sounds to be, it's not just saying that you love self, you know, some rebuke and knowledge about the self. Rather, it sounds like he's branching out and saying it. Like, Das refers to a larger category of things other than your weaknesses, right? So it seems like it's somehow making a connection. If you love Moser, then you'll love knowledge in general about the world, about things there are to be known. Right, and then it's somewhat of a chiddush, right? Then it's not necessarily obvious. Right? You hear what I'm saying, Chloe? You
hear the
question? Yeah. Okay. So, anyone else want to say?
I have a question.
Yes. Yeah, who's that?
I'm kind of confused about how we're defining Musar. Have we, like, really defined it yet, or are we just trying to figure out what all these equations are?
Yeah, no, we haven't really defined it, but I guess that we're using it, so we should have some sort of loose idea of how we're using it. But I haven't really done a study of the word and how it's used, and I don't claim to have, like, a real good definition for it. But at the same time, you know, I guess I have to, what do we talk? We should all be talking about the same thing. So I guess I'm talking about like some sort of a rebuke about one's character. So something to that effect. Reproof, rebuke about your character, about your midos. Right? So Musar is is like, in, I guess, I don't know if this has to be, it's like, tochacha sounds like it's more, to me, tochacha sounds more like a rebuke, and moser sounds to me more like direction about your midos. Maybe it's not as much of like an aggressive type of a thing where someone comes after you personally, but it's like insight about your character traits. Learning moser is learning, you know, insights about your foibles and flaws and traits which lead you astray, and you know, like some sort of a limud about your negative character traits, which harm you, something like that.
Okay.
Does that suffice? But I mean, you are correct. What's your name again? I'm sorry.
McKenna.
One more time.
McKenna.
A E N. Okay, McKenna. Okay, good. Yeah, so you're right, is that in a certain sense, you could argue, how could we even do this? We don't even know what Muslim is, we don't have a good definition of Muslim, so how could we even talk about this? But I think you're also right about the second option you said, is like, it's we don't know much. And this is the way, this is kind of the way knowledge is sometimes, is that you start off not knowing anything, really, and you kind of have to, it's like a big puzzle, and there's a lot of different pieces, and you kind of have to slowly work towards getting ideas, and you know, maybe if we did like, let's say for instance we collect 5 psukim which use the word musar, or every pasuk uses the word musar. But how would we then figure out what the one idea is if we didn't have a good idea about each pasuk individually? How are we going to universalize and figure out what the common idea of musar is? So at the same time, how are we going to figure out one thing if we don't? It's like kind of circular. So I think the only, like there's no great solution. And I think just the way it is, you have to kind of approach the area with your lack of knowledge and go with your intuitive idea of what Musar is and try to work out this pasuk. And then in theory, if one is trying to define Musar, to look at different sources and see who talks about it and see different contexts in which it's used. And you know, but for our purposes, you know, being that we, you know, I haven't done that research, and I'd just like to go with our basic working definition. And you know, maybe it's wrong, or maybe it's not, you know, completely well defined. But it seems like sufficient for now.
Hello.
Yes. Is that someone say something?
Is that okay?
Oh, okay. Okay, I cannot. Okay, good. Okay, so does someone else have a suggestion or a question? So let's address this pointed question. Let me ask you the pointed question. Is, let's say he means, what I think we're deducing is a fair deduction, and what the Ralbag is saying, is that he must be saying someone who loves rebuke about their midos, it also loves knowledge, is a lover of knowledge in general. And someone who hates rebuke is a fool regarding general knowledge, not just regarding knowledge about one's character, because otherwise its tautology is not saying anything. If you love knowledge about yourself, you love knowledge, and if you hate it, then you're foolish about it. So we rather, you must mean that he's talking about knowledge in a more general sense than just about your character. So then the question is, why is that the case? Why is it that it sounds like that's the message of his pasuk, now we just have to understand why. But he's saying is that if you love Musar, the lover of Musar is the lover of knowledge. And the hater of Musar is the fool, the fool means like you're removed from knowledge. But why is that? Why can't you just be a very knowledgeable lover of knowledge, philosopher, but you just have bad midos, and you hate Moser, and you don't want anybody to tell you how to live your life and how your character should be, but you're a big philosopher, and you're a big, you know, you're maybe a scientist, or maybe you're a mathematician, or maybe you're a chacham in philosophy, and psychology, and whatever, like, why is there a connection? Why is that the case, that a person is, you know, there's connection between the Musar and the knowledge in general. Yeah.
Sorry. No, I was just thinking, like, whenever you gain new knowledge, it's because you know that you don't know something and you want to learn it.
Okay.
So it's kind of saying, like, you're basically giving yourself your own criticism, you know? It's like kind of like Musar, you're taking criticism. Right. I need to learn this, you know?
That's true.
So that's how you gain knowledge.
Okay.
So maybe...
Right. Okay. I hear you. That's a good point.
So maybe if you love
puts
Musar,
it in, I understand.
You're gonna.
Right. So. You mean like a person who doesn't want any Musar, he's kind of assumes he knows everything and he's never gonna learn anything.
Right.
Okay. That's good. Is that like that's a particular kind of Musar though, like about his lack of knowledge or something, right? Like
that'd be. That's what Musar always is.
Sometimes, like, let's say you could be like you're a greedy person, or you're stingy, or you know, or you're, I mean, arrogant is one thing, you know it all, but there's like a lot of, you know, there could be a lot of different types of, you know, character traits, which are at different extremes. Let's say Musar is you're too much in touch to Taiva, you have too much love of, you know, money, or, I don't know, whatever. So, I mean, you could say that it's limited only to that this particular thing. It's like if you're arrogant and you think you know everything.
No, you're saying you're wrong in some way. You know, like right. you're worse. Right. You could be better
right.
in some way.
That's true, but I don't know how offensive. Like, I would assume people who hate Musar are willing to sit back and try to figure out some idea and say, I don't know it. Somehow it's not less offensive. Like, it's offended by Musar where you're getting personal. But somehow when you tell them, if they want to just try to understand...
There are some people who think they know everything and they don't.
That's true. There are some people like that.
Yeah, I was thinking like Habib also. If you think you know everything, then you're not going to be willing to accept much, and you're also not going to look for knowledge. You're going to be a fool because you don't.
That's
like
true.
You think you know everything, you're not going to be looking, you know, and accepting more knowledge.
That's
or
true.
Even wanting more, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
true.
That type of personality, that's not good. That's, you know, not the lover of knowledge and the lover of Muslim.
Right. That's true. That's true. I mean, the pursuit of knowledge. Necessity begins with the admission that I don't know and I'm trying to find out. And it's a similar type of a thing. A person who doesn't like Musar doesn't want to think that he doesn't know. Okay? Good. You hear that? Okay?
I also heard an issue from Rabbi Chaim, which is, I guess, like this also, that...
That's cheating.
Said a person, like, it's cheating, I know. Yeah, that if a person isn't perfected in a certain area, then just different types of knowledge will be clothed off to them. So, like, maybe you can, you know, still do math
right.
when you're really greedy or something.
Right.
But however much you're corrupt in whatever way that you're corrupt, it's going to limit you in
right.
what you're learning.
Right. That's good. What tape was that? You remember?
I don't remember.
Okay, it's fine. The main thing is the idea. I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you if I remember.
What's that?
I'll tell you if I remember.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this sounds familiar. Okay. So, is there an example? Or did you give an example?
No. I mean, but he did say that it's... Even when you have, like... When you have someone who's a Russian, they'll never be the same. Like, you see that they're never the same level of Tom.
No. Oh, I understand. Okay, good? Good? Anyone else? Is that a no? Okay, feel free to speak up. Okay. Yeah, okay. So I was thinking along the lines of what both of you guys are saying. That the main point here is that you can't separate. A person is complex, and a person may want to think that his mind is his mind, and his emotions are, or his character is his character. And they do different things. And a person could say, listen, I don't care what my character is, I'll live my life like I want to live my life, but I want to be a chacham, and I want to pursue knowledge. But knowledge is just not that simple. I think that's like kind of his point here, is that the person is one unified person. And to the degree that a person has emotional or ethical or, you know, midos, problems with his midos, of all sorts, it's going to bias and affect his ability to really attain true knowledge. For example, your example is good, is that if a person is Mr. Know-it-all, or thinks that they just know everything, and you know, then they're not going to ever be willing to, let's say, learn from anybody. They're not going to admit they don't know something. They're certainly not going to be willing to hear someone else's opinion or someone else's idea, but that's part of learning. I mean, how can you learn? If you just assume that you know it, then you're going to never get further than what you think you already know. So if you have an emotion like that, where you you know, you can't accept your shortcomings or your lack of knowledge, you know, or you think you know everything, you're not willing to subordinate yourself to anybody else or to anyone else's ideas, then you're not going to be blocked from knowledge. That's one example, I think. It's a very good one. I think it runs through almost all knowledge. But I don't think it's the only example. If a person has an attachment to money or fame, he may not be able to see proper ideas when he's analyzing the significance or the value of money in the world. Right? Or is most things that a person... Most things that a person analyzes, he comes to the table in an analysis with your biases, and you can't leave your biases at the door. You know, if a person has some sort of an aversion to authority, or to, you know, something like that, authority or control or something, you know, then he may not be able to listen and learn from a rabbi. He may not be able to think into something that a rabbi or someone says. Or you may not be able to see the fact, the idea of God. If a scientist, for instance, can't handle the idea of a God or of an authority above, then his mind may become full. He may believe in ridiculous theories in order to escape the evidence which his science leads him to. As is the case with the modern multiverse scientists. So it's like in any area, like you can't leave your emotions at the door. And if you want knowledge, which most people want knowledge, they want to be able to live intelligently, they want to be able to pursue, you know, knowledge of the world and use that knowledge to help them make decisions. And it doesn't work. Whatever weaknesses, emotional, ethical weaknesses you have, will end up expressing themselves and will bias you towards whatever conclusions or towards, you know, in different areas. I mean, you have to think, I'm sure there's a lot of examples you can come up with, and it might be worthwhile to, you know, think of your own if anyone wants to suggest a few. But I think it's like a very, you know, ubiquitous point, which can express itself in almost any area of knowledge and any emotional weakness. You think it will close you off to knowledge. And if a person wants true knowledge, then you have to start realizing, you have to start questioning your own character, because it's going to be a block. It's going to block you out. And the person who loves Mussar, which way does it go? So can we answer that question? Is it if you love knowledge, I think you're going to love Mussar because you want truth. And you realize that your character flaws are going to get in the way of truth. And a person who loves... I think they're just the same... I think they're both tied in the same thing. It's a person who wants truth. And so far as a person loves truth, then he's going to want knowledge, and he's going to want that which is, you know, in his way of getting it, which is, you know, that it's truth regarding his self, his characteristics, his traits, and that will open up doors of knowledge in general. And I think a person who hates Mussar is a fool, because he's never going to open up his mind, he's never going to overcome his biases. In every area you're going to approach, it's basically... The premise is a person is not naturally perfected. A person naturally has weaknesses, and you're fooled because you think it's like you could just forget about it. Then you just approach every area with your... That's kind of your point of view. Is a person just thinks they know everything, and it doesn't matter that they have weaknesses. They feel like qualified and equipped to deal with every single area, and they just use their mind, and they just... You feel that your mind is you know, independent of the of these different traits. Yeah. Okay. Any questions, comments? So that's the point of Avicii said, right? That's basically it.
Yeah. That was kind of in passing. Can't really.
Oh, okay. Okay, anyone on the phone have any questions or comments? Am I clear? Is there...
Sometimes, like, the man...
Okay. So I guess we'll go further. Next pasuk. I'm still connected on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that was just a trick to get you someone to talk. I know I was. Okay. Okay, are we good? Is there any questions? Or is the silence because you're very excited and you follow exactly what I'm saying, or... Because you're baffled?
Oh, I thought it was clear.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Excited. Okay, good. Okay, good. So let's do the next pasuk. Tov yafik ratzon mehashem. Okay. I'll read you the English here. So it's like the hard words here. But a good man will obtain favor of the Lord. So Tov is like a good person. Yafik is like to obtain. Ratzon, will, goodwill. Me Hashem, from God. V'ish mezimos yarshia. But the man of evil devices, mezimos are like plans, machinations, evil devices, will condemn. Yarshia will condemn. This is a little cryptic, right? A little more cryptic than the other one. A good man will obtain favor of the Lord, but a man of evil devices will condemn. What's that talking about? So, I'll read Rashi. Tov Yathik. So a good person will motzi min HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach. L'havi tov l'olam. He'll bring out from Hashem like goodwill, to bring good to the world. Like a good person will engender God's goodwill to the world. He'll bring God to, I guess, do good things for the world. But v'ish mezimos yarshia, Rashi says, Baal alilos, a person of plans, of devices, machinations, yarshia, mechayev esabrios. He's going to cause punishments, I guess, chiyuv, to people. Lahav yira, to bring bad. V'cheinu omer, the Pasuk in Kehelet says, v'choteach ad yovan tov harbe, one sinner could destroy much good. Much good. So it's saying a good person brings God's goodwill to the world, and an evil person does the opposite. He causes God to punish the world, or to cause his negative to the world. Okay, I'll read Mrs. David. I think he says some more pshat. Ish tov motzi ratzon me'Hashem. A good person brings goodwill from God. L'havi tov al-kol ha'olam, to bring good on the whole world. V'ish mezimos hanimshach achar machshavos libo. A person who follows the plans of his heart, as mezimos, like the plans of his emotions, hu yarshia as kol ha'olam. He will negatively make rishayim of the whole world. Ki hu machriyem l'chova, because he's going to make them lean towards chova, towards chova. So it's a good translation of chova, of misdeeds or debts against the world, for their sins. So what's puzzling to me is my impression, and maybe this is the wrong impression, is that Mishlei is about ethics and about a person's character traits. It's not really a study of God's hashkacha to the world. I mean, that's, maybe that's the wrong impression, but that's, you share that impression? People from who have done Mishlei before, let's say from Moskowitz, is that your impression? Or anyone done Mishlei and have agree with that or disagree with that impression? Okay. You don't have to have an impression. But that's from all the psukim I've done, it's always that kind of thing. So this... what's that?
Can you just repeat the question? I just missed what you just said.
Oh, I said that my impression about Mishlei is that it's about ethics. It's about a person's character traits and midos and insight into, the consequences, positive or negative, of different character traits. It's not a book about how God judges the world, about how God interacts, or God's providence, hashkacha, to the world. And my question is that, would you agree with that? From anyone who has experience with Mishlei, is that, would you agree with that impression? Okay, good. So, who's that?
Julia Owen.
Oh, hi, Julia. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, so we have confirmation from the Rabbi Moskowitz side and from the Rabbi Shneur side. So, our Mishlei experts.
It's probably the same side.
Probably the same side, it's true. Oh, well. But, they both, it's true, but they've both done many, many psukim, so they still hold by it, so... Yeah, so here's a pasuk which is kind of bringing in God, and God, like how you find goodwill with God, and how God, God punishes the world, and how does this fit into the theme of Mishlei, which is about your character traits? and about it, which it seems like it sort of is, because it's talking about a good man finding favor and a bad man and an evil man, right? So it doesn't seem to be totally disconnected from Mishle type of, you know, thinking, but at the same time, is it telling us about how God judges the world? That God, right? And how is this true? Well, let you ask some questions. So what bothers you in this pasuk?
Well, it seems like it's weird, like, types of categorizations of people, like, a Tov person.
Okay.
And then Ish Mizimos, also because they don't seem like opposites, like, you expect the concept to have a pair of opposites. And it kind of sounds like it's almost that, but then it's, like,
it's
good
true.
And, like, scheming.
Right, good versus scheming. Are those, they don't sound exactly opposites, but they sort of are. Okay, true, that's a good question. I think. I'm not sure. I don't really have enough experience with it to know whether that's a good, but it seems like a fair question.
I don't know. In my experience, these psukim are usually opposites.
They're like clear opposites.
Clear opposites,
not just not these like loose types of opposites.
Not
okay.
Like pretty.
Okay.
Straight opposites.
Okay. Good. So then, a good question. Okay. Any other questions? Right on the main point of the pasuk. Does the main point of the pasuk sound like it makes sense? What is the main point of the pasuk? In a loose way. In a loose way, what's the main point of the pasuk? And does it sound reasonable or unreasonable or whatever? In the most loose type of a way, what could we summarize the point of the pasuk? Besides for it's good to be good and it's bad to be bad. To be scheming. Right, it's saying more than that, right? God likes good people and doesn't like bad people. It's not saying that either, right? Az, would you mind lowering that, please? Okay, so I'll tell you what I think it's saying, and I'll tell you what I think the problem is. And it sounds like it's saying is, it's not just that a good person is good and a bad person is bad, or a good person is good in God's eyes and a bad person is bad in God's eyes, but a good person brings good to the world. At least that's the way the Mefarshim are interpreting it, right? He brings forth the favor of God, and the bad person brings forth negative. At least that's how Rashi and Zulus are both saying it, right? That it's not just a personal thing that good is good and bad is bad, but a good person brings forth the goodwill from God in general to the world. Rashi says maybe he brings good to the world from God, and the negative of the other person, he's mechayev the brios, he brings bad to people, right? And the pasuk in Kohelet, v'chote echad yovad tova arbe. One sinner could bring about much bad, could destroy much good. One sinner could destroy much good. Right? And the Mitzvah also is in that spirit. Right? Ish tov bo tziyotzon mi'Hashem lahavi tova al kol ha'olam. Bring forth good to the whole world. It sounds like somewhat exaggerant. Right? Is that... I mean, maybe it's a little bit exaggerant, or maybe not, but it certainly seems to be not in line with what we would expect. Right? So could we defend that, or could we maybe say what's someone else trying to bring out?
When you do good, it brings some good to the world. I don't know how much good it brings to the world, but like maybe that's the way you should think about it. That like, if I do a good thing, the world is going to be a better place. It will be a better place.
Okay.
I don't know by how much, but
okay. In what way will the world be a better place, though?
Because you're doing something good. Because you're doing something good, and you're bettering yourself. You could be bettering others.
Okay. How can you be bettering others?
By teaching Torah, you're learning, you're teaching, you're...
Okay.
Yeah, perhaps through example.
Through example. Okay, good. Okay. That's good. Okay, good. So what's the point? Okay, let's say, let's go with some that, you know, that type of thing. So what's the point of the pasuk? Like, what's the... What's he trying to teach us? I'll sit down. Okay.
You know, if people see you performing wicked deeds, then they'll be influenced to do something similar.
Okay.
If people see you doing good things, then they'll perhaps be compelled to follow suit as well.
Okay, good. That's a good idea. Who is that?
My name is Ahuva. I didn't introduce myself before. Sorry.
Okay. Hi, Ahuva. Yeah, okay, that's a good point. Okay, good. Someone else? Okay, it reminds me of... there's a Maimar Chazal which says, we say it in davening sometimes, by the Kelikeinu, Tamidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam.
Yeah, sure.
Tamidei Chachamim increase peace in the world. Right? How do they increase peace in the world? So how do they increase peace in the world? What do? They go around like signing peace treaties or something? Usually not, but maybe they do, but that's right.
Well, I mean, they can be making peace between people or by being peaceful people, and I guess, like, in sum total, that makes the world more peaceful.
Okay, you mean on a one-to-one based level?
Yeah. But, I mean,
yeah, like, I guess if they're peaceful, then there's peace among the people they interact with. You mean,
yeah.
If they make peace, then... Is it more than that?
Sounds like it should be.
Sounds like it should be, right? It's also, again, in the world.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm thinking it's like, I think this is kind of what Ahuva was starting to say here, is that... That it's like we live, like a person sometimes likes to think of themselves as like their own person. I'm my own person, I'll do my own thing, I'll suffer my own consequences of what I do, I'll benefit from the, you know, the benefits of the actions which I do, and like you kind of feel like a free agent, and you know, you kind of, you know, you're your own person. Which in a certain sense is true, but you're part of a society. You're part of a society on many levels. Part of a family, your family is part of a community, your community is part of a larger community, part of a country, part of whatever. I mean, there's multiple levels, you know, ultimately part of the world. But it branches out, and obviously you're further removed, the larger, further out you go. But the point is like, let's say in terms of like the Shalom thing, is if you have a group of people who are competitive, then there's one person in a group, let's say, who starts competing, could end up bringing out the worst in everybody, and it could end up everybody has, like, let's say one person shows off his mind, let's say. Well, then everyone else starts feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Oh, does he think he is? And then all of a sudden it starts becoming like a big competition, you know, and it could like influence. A person could like kind of, through whatever they do, see, but most of these emotional, you know, weaknesses are common to everybody. Everyone has a part of them which wants to compete and wants to show off, and you know. But somehow people aren't doing it. But then when one person does it, it arouses that tendency in others and ends up setting a social trend, which, you know, which is what everyone kind of has to, you don't have to, but that's kind of the way people, it's like, so a person could control themselves maybe without being tempted, but once everyone else around it is doing it, then it kind of makes it that much more challenging for a person as an individual to stay away from it. And on the other hand, it's like a Talmud Chacham. It goes to go both ways. Talmud Chacham is Marav Shalom Ba'olam. I think it means Talmud Chacham is like totally removed from the petty, from the world of the competitive. And his world is the world of knowledge, the world of truth, the world of God, the world of ideas. And he's totally unconcerned or uninvolved in the competitive. And so far as people see that in a person, that's like a breath of fresh air. People realize, they see a certain, there's a certain draw to that. People realize the servitude of the competitive. They realize how they become slaves to it and how painful it is. And sometimes you just need one person to like break out of it, to be an appeal to other people, and it kind of draws people, makes them realize, one second, that's true, that's a good point. And it kind of could breed further people doing that, you know, following that model. So I think in both, that's the kind of the Ram talks about, or Chazal talks about, it's important to be around good people, to live in a community of good people, and good neighbors, be distant from bad neighbors, be close to good neighbors, that kind of a thing. Is that we live among, our emotions are drawn after people, and our emotions and our minds. I mean, we see people who do, who overcome different weaknesses, and they're models for how we could live, and on the contrary, people, when they cave into them, they affect others. So, like, man is a social animal, and we can't think of it like, I'm just my own person. You are affected by others, and you affect others, and you live in a society, and it's like somewhat of a feedback loop, is that you affect others. Like, if you have a negative trait, not only is it that it affects others, it then affects you in turn. It affects them, they end up following that path, then they end up affecting you, and like you end up, your harm to yourself from bad traits ends up being multiplied by the fact that it ends up affecting the world in which you live. And that world, like 7 degrees of separation, it ends up, its consequences could be much more broad than you think. So Tamei Chacham Shemar Shalom Ba'olam is like, it might be that Tamei Chacham lives in one small little niche, on his own little neighborhood, but he could end up influencing the people of his town or his neighborhood, and they can influence others, and it kind of could create, like, these types of things are somewhat contagious, and the point is that's, and I think that's saying that, it could be the idea of saying that it brings the will from God, it's not so much as trying to teach us the metaphysics of Ashgacha, but it's saying is that it's, in general, God's relating to people like on a mat. It's kind of pointing to like a bigger picture than just your personal thing. But is that you bring out, you evoke God's goodwill, and He'll treat the world differently. So it's like, it means is that it's not, it's trying to show you, don't think of yourself as so. Don't think of yourself as so small and so uninfluential. Any person could think of themselves as uninfluential and not meaningful to the world and not meaningful to other people. But you are, because you do live amongst people and you do set models and people learn from you, and for positive or for negative. So it's trying to kind of, like, a way that we oftentimes could justify our negative traits is to think, who really cares? Whatever, I'll deal with it, But when a person thinks of their values and the way they live as having broader impact, both in a positive, they have potential to affect people in a very positive way, in a broad-reaching type of ways, and they have a potential in the opposite, the negative way. So that's something which could, so to speak, undercut that justification for us to be not so concerned about our ethic and about the way that we live our lives. It could motivate us. It's just showing us the true perspective, giving us a perspective on the significance of our actions. Now, of course, if a person, you could also overdo it and think a person, become like a Balgaiva but it's everybody. It's not just you. It's not saying is you're great and you're powerful and you're the most important thing in the world. Everyone is. It's just that we are a web of people, and, especially these days, right, with the internet and all the, everything else that everyone knows about it, everyone does, Like, back in the, maybe it's harder to see the world back in the day of Shlomo Melech, I don't know, but I mean, nowadays it's very clear, clear how these things really affect people. How about that question that you asked tomorrow? I don't really know, I didn't think about this, but could we explain the difference of why is saying Tov and Baal Nezimos? Like, why is those...
Yeah, just like weird language.
I mean, that's funny to call it Ish Nezimos
altogether.
It's like
condemning also, just like strange.
Yashia? Condemning?
Yeah. It's like all just like strange language.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's saying you're obtaining favor from God and you're condemning them before God. Those kind of are opposites, right? You'll bring out goodwill or you'll make them negative, condemned in the eyes of God. But why the term Tov is a good person and the Ish Mezimos? Can we try to explain that? I think the Mitzudos, what did he try to say? Hanimshach achar machshavos libo. Like mezima is like a plan. So it's like you go after the thoughts of your heart. The plans. The mezima is like a plan. Kasher zaman is like you plan to do. Plans. The person who goes after the plans of his heart. And tov is not giving you much more insight than that. Just tov.
Yeah. That's interesting also. Like it's not the word like tzaddik or something.
I know, it's
or
true.
Chacham, like it's tov.
Tov. I know, tov.
Like tov
is...
and mezima also seems like it's like a different type of a pair than
true.
Like tzaddik or mash.
It's true. I know, that's true. Does anyone have a thought? Any questions on what we were saying so far? Or anyone have a thought about that point? Everyone hear the question? Anyone not follow what we're asking?
So according to what you're saying, you can just have like one statement that says that your actions affect the people around you. You don't need like two separate statements.
Okay. And just say... Okay, that's a good question. So what do you... Does someone address that? Elise is asking. Just say what you do affects people. And why say a good person brings good things and a bad person brings bad things? So aren't they at the same point? Yeah, you affect other people, so it's on both sides. What's the difference?
And do the neutral things affect people also?
That's a good question.
Are there neutral things?
I guess there are, yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe they affect, well, maybe they just keep them neutral. It's like a pity card neutral. You go neutral. You kind of just stay where you are. I mean, it's true, yeah. It's hard to say with something very, you know, strong about neutral. But it's true though, why not just say whatever you do affects people. Okay, any thoughts about that?
Because it's not whatever you do, it's the good things and the bad things.
Okay, that's true, you mean not the neutral. But I mean, it's not like the neutral doesn't. I mean, that's your answer. You're saying is it doesn't want to imply that the neutral things affect people.
Maybe.
But like, what's so bad about that? It's like, it's almost like there's nothing to say about that. It's not like they don't, it's just like they don't have the capacity to, because they're...
Maybe they don't.
Yeah, probably, neutral. Because they're neutral. Let's say, would that be so bad if you implied that the neutral things affect people in a neutral way? Like, it's not, you know what I mean?
I mean, but isn't that what all these psukim do? Like, they tell you, like, a general thing by telling
right.
you, like, the two opposites?
Right. Okay, that's true. I mean, I don't know, it's not the most powerful question, but maybe just to elucidate that a little bit more, is that Mishlei is about talking to a person's emotions. And just to say, intellectually, they're equivalent. Yes, your actions affect other people. For good, for bad, for neutral, yeah, that's one point. If you're just trying to tell me, like, sociological facts... or psychological facts, or whatever types of facts, ethical facts, it's true. But it's talking to a person who is dealing with conflicts. And there are different types of people. There's a person who's struggling with Ra, with Nizimos, with plans, negative things that he does. And we're telling him, hey, your negative thing is not just going to affect you, it can impact other people, it impacts the world. And then there's another person who's trying to move towards Tov, and trying to be motivated and get himself to be able to step up and to be able to make a move towards Tov. And we're saying is, hey, your good is not just going to affect you, it's going to end up affecting the world and it's going to draw other people towards Tov. So in that sense, they're two different people and two different parts of a person's life in which they're facing the things. And to leave it in a removed, abstract way, your actions affect people, doesn't talk to them in either phase or in either struggle at which they're having. You know, but this way it's calling out. We struggle with, you know, Sur Me Ra Vaasei Tov. We can summarize like our battles in life are motivating ourselves to do Tov and to stay away from doing Ra. So it's identifying that they're not exactly the same struggle and they're different, you know, and it's calling them out in both of them. You know what I mean? It is interesting, by the way. I mean, I don't know if this answers your question about why it's a Tov and Ish Nizimos, but it's almost like who is a bad person is a person who follows the Machshavos Liba. Right? That's kind of what... Like, an evil person doesn't have horns or anything, you know? It doesn't have to be hairy. It's just a person who just follows the plans of his heart. It means your heart the heart, which the emotions plan things and they tell you different stuff to do. And the evil person is the person who, I guess, consistently follows those things. A Baal and Ish Mezimos is the person that's had it, it'll be life, you do whatever your emotions advise you to do. You just do them. They plan, they scheme, they this, you just go after your Mashvos Libo. And a Tov is the person who's able to take a step back from his Mashvos Libo, not to be, you know, to realize that their Mashvos Libo, their plans, their schemes, which emerge from the person's instincts, and they're able to take a step back and, you know, decide what's Tov, what's really good. But it is, doesn't really answer the question, because you should have said that, like, converse would have been, I don't know, not Ish Mezimos, but a Chacham. Or a person of, I don't know, thought out type of a person. I don't know what the right word would have been, but Tov is like a pretty vague word. So Ish Mezimos sounds like it's giving us some sort of insight into what Ra means, but Tov is so vague that you could say anything. So it is interesting the why it does that. I don't know.
It is interesting. I think it does add something, though, when you say the Ish Mezimos, because, like, you say, like, oh, someone doing something evil, so the evil affects other people, but, like, it doesn't always sound so bad, like, you know, like, a lot of emotions don't seem like they're that harmful, and,
right.
like, someone can just keep going along with them, because they don't think that they seem that bad, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, it's actually telling you, like, it actually is bad.
Right. You mean, say the word evil would imply everyone would say, oh, that's not me, that's someone else. Right?
Right.
It's like, evil sounds like it's the terrible, terrible stuff, but it's just calling it as evil means... person who follows the plans of his heart, which is everyone has evil tendencies, and that's what it's doing. I mean, but Tov, everyone knows that no one thinks Tov, oh, that's the other guy. Tov is easier to relate to. We don't kind of, maybe it doesn't have to do that with regard to Tov. So it means that good things, everyone feels like they're struggling with doing Tov, but if you say Ra, they kind of dissociate themselves from it. So in order to kind of put you in the loop and to not just, you know, not exclude yourself, it's the Shmazimos, which is, you know, doesn't have like a negative, isn't as negative a term, but it's the same point. Okay, that's good. That's good. Any comments, questions? How are you guys doing there? Phone still attached?
Yeah.
Okay, any questions?
No, I was a little confused whether, like, Mizuno meant, like, an evil person, but then we cleared that up.
Oh, okay, good, we did. Yeah, that's what's interesting, is because Mizimos really just means plans. Like, literally, a man of plans, like Hashazamam, like they planned. But it's like, I guess, they're interpreting it to mean, yeah, the net plans of your... Yeah, it's interesting, the plans of your heart. It is interesting, I mean, because you could just as well call the Chacham a man of plans. Right? I mean, it's interesting, that's the way the Mefarshim interpreted it. I mean, I guess it's kind of clear from the implication of the Pasuk, but... It's not like the only your emotions plan. I mean, your Chacham is a big planner. Esther, before she went to you know, the parties with Haman, I'm sure she made a lot of plans. She talked it over with Mordechai. I mean, it's plans. You got a plan. So Ish Mezimos, Mezimos Raos. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I mean, they're interpreting it to be that it's the plans, the schemes, the machinations of a person's, like, you know, heart, which is their emotions. But it is interesting that it doesn't say Ish Mezimos Raos or something like that. Yeah, so we kind of cleared it up by just saying that the Mefarshim, and it's clear from the Pasuk that that's what it's doing, and the Mefarshim are filling it in, but didn't exactly clear up your point, which is true, is that it is using a very vague term. If I just told you Ish Mezimos, I didn't tell you any context, I said, is that good or bad? I don't know if you necessarily say bad. Well, what do you mean? What plans are you talking about exactly? I think. But I don't know, maybe it's be a good idea to look into other places in Tanakh or in Mishlei where the term is used. You know, this is but a good point. It's interesting, the Tirgum says Gavra Rishia. Riya. Rashia. Yeah. Yeah, he calls him just a bad person. Tav and Gavra Rishia, an evil person. So that's the way he interprets it. But it does give us that insight that evil is nothing more than following the plans of your heart. It doesn't mean like some person, like non-human type of thing. It's everybody has evil tendencies. If you just follow whatever your heart desires, then you're going to be doing evil. the tov is where a person doesn't just give in to whatever.
It's funny you call it plans in the heart. Usually
the
heart doesn't plan.
It just wants to. Sort of, but the heart does plan. It wants, but it plans. It schemes in order to be able to work it out. Maybe it plans, first of all, how to get around your mind and to rationalize and to... I mean, yeah, a good Rasha, I think, has to plan. I mean, yeah, some people just, the total Baal Taiva just goes after whatever they want. That's, I mean, it's a certain, that's just like a low, like a bar, like an animal. But, I mean, a good Rasha, like Oman or someone, you know, or any person who is a successful Rasha has to plan. I mean, you have to think and to think. You have to use a little bit of Chachma in order to carry, you know, achieve the goals of your instincts. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting terms. Yeah, okay, good. Any other questions? Okay, so, leave that there. Sounds like a good idea to continue this. Hopefully, you know, we've at least done two other psukim, and, you know, hopefully we'll continue. We'll see. At least I might be subbing to Mishlei, so could be his prep. So maybe then, if that happens, then we'll do him for longer, but whatever, we'll see. Okay, so welcome everybody, and it's been nice having you, and I guess hopefully we'll continue next week.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah, you got it.